Let's review the Gemara itself. Okay, the Gemara was, again, if you only have the sheets from tonight, just listen for a couple minutes of Chazara, and then we'll continue where we were up to. But the Gemara told the story that the elders of Athens said to Rabbi Yoshua, build us a bayis in the sky. Build us a house in the air. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yoshua uttered a shame. He said a shame kadosh, said a mystical name of God. And he flew up, and he flew up into the sky. And then he called down to the elders of Athens, and he said to them, okay, send up bricks and mortar. To which they responded, is anyone able to bring bricks and mortar to the sky? To which he responded, is it possible to build a house in the sky? If you can't bring the bricks and mortar into the sky, then how are you going to build a house? So let's talk it out first, okay? Let me give you the flow of the whole piece, because again, we're gonna run into some trouble with the words. The words are, again, from of all the pieces we've done, I would say the words here are the hardest to actually crack in terms of the code. But conceptually, I think if you understand the big picture, conceptually, again, the Gruss spelled out last time some very, very fundamental puzzle pieces that we could try to put together into a beautiful puzzle. So if you remember, he began by introducing us to the concept that we have a nefesh and a ruach and a neshama. He spoke about where they reside in the different parts of a person. The nefesh is in the kaved, in the liver. The ruach is in the heart. The neshama is in the mind. But we explained how it corresponds to different stages of life. We compared it to the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Gimel, that says that there are three stages to the night. And we explained how it corresponds to the three stages of life. Nefesh represents taiva. Adam hu nefesh. The kaved, the liver, is very bloody. It's very, very much attached to physicality. Right? It represents certain basic desires and urges, food, sexual desire, very earthly matters. Ruach, we said, corresponds to what? Ready to a little bit more of a refined taiva, which we'll call what? Kavod. Right? Kina, kavod. It's where a person is no longer as wowed by simply feeding the cravings of the body, but he already wants to make a lot of money, and he wants to get his name on the side of a building, and there's a sense of, trying to one-up others socially, to climb the social ladder. Right? Ruach corresponds to something a little bit more emotional, a little bit more intellectual. Again, it's still taiva dik. It's still driven by certain unrefined part of self, right? But it's a little bit less gashmi and a little bit more leaning towards the spiritual. Right? We said a person could build a shul or build a beis medrash, and it comes from a place of ruach, but a perversion of ruach, because he's doing it to make a name for himself. But ruach already is leaning towards something a little bit more lofty, a little bit off the ground. And of course, there's neshama, which is the part of a person that's really the most spiritual. So we compared it to the three stages of the night, which the Gemara highlights as in the first stage of the night, the donkey is braying. The donkey, choymer, chamor, represents raw physicality. The second stage of life, right, a person is not as young as they used to be, so the physical type is not the same, but they want to be chashiv, they want to be recognized, kina and kavod. And that corresponds to the dog is barking. And then the third stage of the night, the Gemara says in Brachos, is when what? When a woman starts to nurse her baby, and a woman starts to speak to her husband in the early part of the morning, and that already refers to a person talking to Hashem, the neshama waking up a little bit and realizing I'm not going to live forever, and making real cheshbon and nefesh, and a little hizvodidus, a little bit of more honest dibur. And then the Gemara said it corresponds to Kayin, Hevel, and Shes. Three sons of Adam, Adam being a representation of all of humanity. Right? Kayin is the earthly desires, that's why Kayin is a farmer. Hevel is a little bit more about the mumminess, about the kavod, that's why Hevel is a shepherd, he's amassing, a lot of livestock, a lot of possessions. And then Shes, the son of Noah, the son of Adam, who was born after a period of tikkun, is bidmuso v'tzalmo. He's created already more in a little bit more of a divine image. And the struggle of Cain and Hevel, and this is really the yesod of the whole piece, is will Cain dominate Hevel, or will Hevel learn to dominate Cain? Again, if Cain represents taiva, earthliness, and Hevel represents what? Hevel represents kavod, and desire for money, and kina, right? So will Cain kill Hevel? In other words, will I be able to activate the ruach towards the neshama, or will the ruach be subservient to the nefesh? Right? Because again, I can use my money in a very meaningful way. But am I doing it for the right reason, or am I doing it for the wrong reason? So of course, the tragedy is that Cain kills Hevel. Right? Cain kills Hevel, which means that on a certain level, it's very hard for a person to activate his ruach in the right way, and to not allow it to be subservient to the base desires of Taiva, of Kayin, of Kiadam Hu HaNefesh. It might look like you're moving towards the world of Hevel, and we'll see he talks about the Dor HaFlaga when they were building that big tower. Naselanu Shem, let's get our name on the side of the building. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this is they're waging war against God. So the fact that you're building nice buildings, right, is it about Hashem's honor, or it's about your honor? Is it about putting your own name on the side of the building, right, and getting a lot of kavod from people? Or is it really about what? Is it really about building a house of worship for Hashem? And the way the piece actually started, which again, he comes full circle at the end, is by quoting from the Nebuah of Zechariah. The Nabi Zechariah sees a vision of these two women who are carrying this bucket or this bathtub. Right? And it says that the two women are trying to build a bias for themselves in Bavel, in Shinar, which is Bavel. In other words, the Gemara says these two women represent flattery and gaiva, and they're trying to build a house for themselves. And the Gemara says, it says they're trying to build a house, which means they didn't build a house. Which means that you can't build a house if you're doing it for the wrong reason. Eventually it will crumble. So let me tell you the punchline, even though, you know, spoiler alert, it kind of ruins the whole shir, but it's kedai to know the punchline. The punchline is, the elders of Athens said to Rabbi Yeshua, build a house in the sky. In other words, is it possible for... They were mocking the possibility of what? Of Hevel dominating Cain. Of the Ruach dominating the Nefesh. In the right way. That the Ruach should be more connected to the Neshama. There is a way for Ruach and Nefesh to work together. Again, I have to take that possibility of Ruach and bring it down into the world of Nefesh. That's what Torah Mitzvos is. It's taking a spiritual concept and making it L'maisa. But it's very easy that what? That it goes the other way around, in which case you could be building the tower, which again is the world of Ruach, is the world of Hevel, but it's a tower against God. Or it's a tower that's built on Gaiva and built on you know, flattery. And then it's not going to last. So what did Rabbi Yeshua do? They said, Rabbi Yeshua, can you build a bias? Can you build a bias in the sky? In other words, to say it very, very simply, can your body be subservient to your neshama? This is your bias. Right? Sky, which part of you is the sky? Your neshama is the sky. That part of you that's transcendent. So they were mocking, they were saying, you Jews think what? You think that the neshama can dominate the goof? The goof is so strong, the taiva of this world is so strong. You can't build a bias in the sky. What did Rabbi Yeshua do? He said a name of Hashem. He uttered a name of Hashem. What does that mean? It means that if I'm constantly acting, we touched on this at the very end last time, right? If my achila is l'shem shamayim, remember the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Is it possible to take the realm of ma'isa and make it shamayim dik? Can I take the aretz and make it shamayim? Is that possible to transform the aretz into shemayim? And the answer is yes, as long as I do it l'shem shemayim. So if Yeshua uttered a shem of Hashem, right, Kabbalistic name of God, and flew up to the sky. But the point is, as long as we don't have to be so mystical, as long as we're attaching ourselves to a shem Hashem, as long as I can say that I'm doing this l'shem shemayim, then I can actually get up there and build something in the sky. But then Rabbi Yeshua turns back to the elders of Athens and says, you guys supply the bricks and the mortar. In other words, as the Gra is going to explain tonight, the bricks and the mortar represent the bones and the flesh of a person. So you try to bring your goof up here. What do they say back to Yeshua? Who can bring bricks and mortar up to the sky? If you're not L'shem Shemayim, you can't. That's right. If your whole world is just the world of the guf, then you'll never get off the ground. So Rabbi Yeshua says back to them, right, according to you, can you build a bayis in the sky? But Rabbi Yeshua at the same time was proving to them you can, as long as you're l'shem shemayim, as long as you know how to utter the shame. Okay? So that's the whole sugya. Okay? So now let's pick up where we left off last time and try to see it a little bit in the words. And you'll say, I don't see any of that in the words. Okay, neither do I. So we'll try. Okay, we're on page Nunches. Let's take it from the last paragraph on page Nunches. V'zeh she'amar. Okay, you see that last paragraph, page Nunches? Again, we ended off last time by saying how achila can be l'shem shemayim, and all the physicality can be l'shem shemayim, right? And that's called hevel dominating kain. He even told us a beautiful pshat in the Medrash. Cain and Hevel had this funny conversation where Cain says to Hevel, Hevel, you're a shepherd. I'm a farmer. The land belongs to me. Get off the ground. Right? Go fly in the sky. What does Hevel say back to... Or actually didn't quote the whole Medrash. The end of the Medrash is that, and I mentioned this last week, that Hevel says back to Cain, Cain, where'd you get your clothing from? It's made out of the wool from my sheep. So take off your clothing. Right? So Hevel's telling Cain, take off your clothing. Cain's saying, Hevel, get off the ground. Right? And it almost looks like they'll never reconcile. And that's what the sages of Athens are saying. The elders of Athens are saying, look, Cain and Hevel will never get along. Right? Cain is bound to kill Hevel eventually. Which is what happens, by the way, sometimes. The person who does it, the person who's chasing kavod and money in the wrong way, very often their downfall is not going to be the kavod or the money. Their downfall is something happens back in the realm of Taiva. They get involved in some sex scandal or something crazy like that. Right? Somehow it reverts back to Tyler, reverts back to the level of Nefesh. Right? Because Kain dominates Hevel. If you don't use Hevel in the right way, right, eventually the Gaiva will lead you back to Taiva. Gaiva is really rooted in Taiva. Right? All Taiva stems from Gaiva. So if the tower keeps growing and it's not L'shem Shemayim, eventually it'll crumble in the realm of Taiva. Okay, this is Dora Mabel and Dora Flaga. There's a lot going on here. Okay? So let's take it from this last paragraph again. V'zeh she'amar, v'yihi b'yosim basadeh. It was when they were in the field, right? Because again, we start off in the field. Kain is the world of the field. Oisek b'inyanei gufa, in the world of guf. Ish sadeh, we brought Esav into it last time also. Which again, is this final galus. Galus Edom is the galus of Esav. So we're grappling with inyanei guf. That's why we live in unbelievable gashmias. Western culture is so gashmi. Loves Gashmias, right? And the Gashmias gets more and more geschmack. And we get sucked into it. You know, I'm not going to go off on a rant. It's not a commercial wine ringer, so I'm not going to go off on a rant on the ads in Mishpacha magazine. And right? I can hint to it at least. Not big enough to scream about it, but I can hint to it. You know? Why is that? Fancy watches and cuts of meat. Like, well, what's wrong with us? What does that have to do with us? It's so gross. So gashmi. And we get pulled into it. And it could be glatt kosher, and it could be, you know, hadrim and mahadrim, but we get pulled into that stuff. Right? So a person is grappling, we're in the sadeh. And we're in the gullus of Ish sadeh, we're in the gullus of Edom. Right? Esav is an Ish sadeh. He was a person who loved blood. Blood in the form of murder, blood in the form of taking advantage of women. He was a very barbaric person. Even though he pretended to be a refined person at times. But Yokum Kain al Hevel Achiv Yargeu. Kain rises up and kills Hevel. Sha'oz ein shlitas Hevel v'lachein v'yargehu. Because if Hevel doesn't take charge, then Hevel's going to get killed. Again, Hevel himself is not so refined. Hevel is kavod and kina. But if Hevel leans towards neshama, if Ruach leans towards neshama, as opposed to Ruach becoming a slave to nefesh, then it's possible to win. But without, ein lo kiyam. Without it, it can't survive. Ki atzadik kovesh es yitzro shel ha'taiva. The tzadik learns to take control. Turn the page. V'lecho b'shvil lios lo kovach l'midos of shel ha'kavish baruch. Again, he uses the achila, he uses the gashmias in order to strengthen himself to serve his creator. Aval ha'rasha she'ino osa l'shem shemayim. But the rasha doesn't act l'shem shemayim, in other words, doesn't know how to utter the shame. He efshir lichvosh es ha'taiva. He doesn't know how to conquer his desire. Ki mi yochal u mi yachush chutz mimeni, as it says in Koheles. Who will eat? Right? who will enjoy other than me? You become self-absorbed in that way. Everything is about that pleasure. V'zesha Omer, and this takes us back again to what we started at the beginning of the Maimer, the words of the Navi Zechariah. The Navi Zechariah saw v'hinei shtayim nashim yoytzos. He saw these two women going out. V'omru and Chazal say in the Gemara in Kedushin, elu chanufa v'gasas haruach. This is flattery and gaiva. Sheyardu l'bavel. It says that they were going to build a house, they were attempting to build a house in Shinar, which is Bavel. What does that mean? Shein midos haruach. Why were they flying, right? He saw these two winged angels, these two winged women, as he describes in the Pesukim. Right? Wings means that they're in the air. They're in the realm of Avir, they're in the realm of Ruach, the realm of Hevel. But unfortunately, it's misguided. V'ikra ha-chanufa b'mais of kiyadua, v'zeu sha'amar v'ruach b'chnafehim. Again, they're winged creatures, because that chanufa, that sense of false flattery, is now, unfortunately, finding expression in physicality. V'amar, and that's why the pasuk says, v'lahena knafayim kekanfei achasida. If you remember, a strange thing, they had the wings like the wings of a stork. Chasida. Chasida is a not kosher bird. The farshim want to know, why would Hashem call a non-kosher bird a chasid? Chasida. Right? And the answer is, because it appears to act in a way of chesed. Shemarus ba'atzmen kechasida. Right? That sometimes, again, a person is you know, pretending to be generous with their money, and they're really just, it's self-serving, it's a taiva. It's feeding a craving of their own kavod seeking. V'dima osan b'nashim, why did Zechariah see them as women? Kamosha amar zois harisha, as it says later in those psukim, right, when it uncovers kind of what was hiding in that basket, it was some type of isha zona, right? This is the root of the evil. Va'amru shehi ha-yetzahara, this is a reference to the yetzahara, ki noifes titoifna sifse zara, its lips are dripping, right? The lips of the isha zara are dripping. Again, the licentious woman, the yetzahara is described as this isha zona, this licentious woman who's trying to lure people into her grasp. Isha zona, shis zona, right, establishing herself, dressing herself, displaying herself like a zona. Ki yadua shahanukva mefata la'adam. As is known, the Gros says, again, without any no offense to women, right, but Chazal sometimes see, again, women having this ability to seduce. Right? Nekeva is often associated with a certain seduction, kamosha amru bizar. So again, there's a certain lure, a certain seduction of the realm of Ruach if not used properly. So they were carrying this bucket, this basket. Right? And this, that they were trying to build, they were trying to build something, right? This is its evil. Because really the Yetzirah is wrapped up in these midos of gaiva, right? Of flattery. Shemishkano itzel midos hakavuos benefesh v'ruach. Lev ksil lismolo, bein haaretz uvein hashamayim, kanizkaleel. Sha'amidos elo hein bein shamayim laaretz, belev avir. Again, if the neshama part of me is supposed to be the holy upper realms, right, and the lower part of me is the aretz, right, so the ruach, which we said corresponds to the lev, represents that airspace in the middle. And a choice has to be made, which direction are you going to go? If I give you the tools, if I give you the building blocks, if I give you the basar, if I give you the flesh, and I give you the bones, if I give you a guf, if I give you bricks and mortar, what are you going to do with it? Is it possible to build it gravitating towards the higher realms, or is it going to be built in the lower realms? So where were these women going? Livnos labayis veretz shinar. They were going to build a bayis. They were attempting, in Zechariah's vision, they were attempting to build a bayis in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is the land of Bavel. It's another name for Bavel. V'hu inyan binyan migdal shal dor aflaga. They were trying to do exactly what the dor aflaga did, which was what? Which was to build this big tower that reaches towards the heavens, but was entirely rooted in earthliness, in desire. Shenemar v'yimtzu bika beretz Shinar. Like it says by the dor aflaga, they found the valley, right, in the land of Shinar, and they tried to build something there. So says the Gra, let's talk about what is this bias. Let's understand the bias metaphor a little bit more. A person is like a bias. It's interesting. Right? The guf, we said, is most connected to the taiva, to the aretz. Right? What's the gematria of taiva? forth 12 is gematria bias, right? So the taiva actually is gematria bias. And that represents the earthly part of a person. So my guf, my physicality, right? It craves taiva. That's what it is. Again, we go to the bathroom, we say maflila asos. It's such a chiddush when the neshama and the guf can work together. Right? When we go to the bathroom, we're getting a taste of that, again, in a very physical way, in a very olam hazadik way. We remind ourselves, nikavim, nikavim, chalim, chalim. I have parts of myself that are open, I have parts of myself that are closed. Somehow the neshama is able to stay within the body, so they have to learn how to work together. Kayin and Hevel can't spend their whole life fighting with each other. Otherwise, it just leads to destruction. Right? It leads to galus. It leads to Kayin being exiled. Right? Human beings are described as what? As people who are living in Bate Chomer. Right? This is my Bayis Chomer. This is my physical house. My body is my house. Coming from the dirt. Right? The same way my house was actually built out of materials that came from the earth. So to my body. Right? We come from the dirt, we go back to the dirt. Ratzo lomar habasar hu achomer. On the top of page Samach. Habasar hu achomer. Right? My flesh, that's the mortar. That's the cement. V'hatzamos heim halaveinim. And my bones are the bricks. Interesting way to look at your own body. Right? My skin, my flesh, right? That's the cement. And my bones are the bricks that hold together my body. Sheheim aviv. As the Gemara says that the Father provides the white of the body, the bones. Comes from the white of the zera of the father, and the mother provides the red of the body. She provides the flesh, the basar of the body. A lot to think about there. Right, the father produces a white seed, right? The whiteness of the semen that comes from the father, that produces the whiteness of the bones in the formation of a child. Shehem kiyumo sha'adam, because that gives structure to a person, that gives substance to a person. Right? If you were just flesh without bones, you wouldn't exist. Collapse. Right? So the bones, the structure of the body, comes from the father. V'habasar hachomer, and the flesh, where does it come from? What sustains the flesh? Right? What makes the basar, you know, strong and present and full or malnourished, right? Food. V'habasar hachomer kiyumo shel me'achila. When a person eats, if you eat too much, you'll have too much flesh. Kamosha amu marbe basar marbe rima, right? More basar, more worms. Vatzamos kiyumu mishtia. The bones are nourished by drink. Kamosha amu, as the Gemara says, hashosa yayin chai. If you drink undiluted wine, atzmoisav srufin. Your bones become burnt. Whatever that means. Mazug, if you drink diluted wine, atzmoisav schuyam. Then your bones will become blackened. Karoi, if you drink the right amount of wine in the right measure, in the right way, it's mosav meshuchim. Right? Then your bones are, the marrow is nourished. The bones are healthy. So in other words, the way that I'm going to engage in gashmias, eating and drinking, which again, is just a metaphor for everything. Right? When it says about Yosef HaTzadik, he was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house, except for the bread that he eats, right? It's a metaphor for his wife. So eating, achila, is always a metaphor for anything physical. Eating, that's drinking, that's sexual desire. Right? That's why the Nesilas Shalom writes, very interesting. Shabbos Kodesh is a time where we elevate our physicality, where it's much easier to be engaged in physicality in the right way. That's why the eating on Shabbos is a holy type of eating. So the Gemara says that Talmidei Chachamim are intimate with their wives on Leil Shabbos. Such an inyan in Chazal. Right? So it's a time of intimacy, it's a time of achila. Time of Gashmias. Shabbos is the time of Gashmias. But we start off the meal with what? We have to have Lechem Mishnah. Two breads. What do we do? Right? What do? We cut the breads. We break the breads. Tzias HaPas, right? The breaking of the bread. Right? Some actually have a practice to cut both challahs. Right? What's the idea of the two breads that we start the Shabbos Suda by breaking, so to speak? Again, Shabbos is a time where we engage two breads, right? It's a time where we realize that, you know what, it is possible for me to be in control of my taiva sachila. And it is possible for a person to be in control of their taiva for arayos. There is a way to do that in a way of of neshama, right? Shabbos is Yom HaDinishmasa. So it's very interesting. We dafka enter into Shabbos in a certain sense by showing we can control the bread. Again, the bread is both the metaphor for arayos, and bread as bread, right? As we find by Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. Okay? So again, a person's bones and their flesh will be healthy if they learn how to do this in the right way. Unfortunately, in Mitzrayim, very relevant, here's our Parsha connection, we always find one, Baruch Hashem. V'zeu v'yemaru es chayayim b'chomer uvilveinim v'chol avoda basodeh. It's such a beautiful pasuk then. Mitzrayim is what, how is Mitzrayim referred to in Tanakh? Erev Asa'aretz, a place of arayos, right? A place of sexual perversion, a place of taiva. That's what Mitzrayim was. So in Mitzrayim, they made our life difficult with chomer and levainim, literally with mortar and bricks, but it means that we didn't know our bodies were struggling in Mitzrayim. And we didn't understand. Kol avoda basada, we're back in the world of Cain, we're back in the world of Esav. Right? Cain, in a certain sense, is the beginning of things falling apart. Esav, Galus Edom, is the last of the exiles. So throughout history, we're going to grapple with this inyan. Sheim inyanim gufniyim, this refers to physical matters. Right? Ish sada, like Esav is called, the Ish sada. And it's befarech, it's back-breaking labor. Right? It could break a person, it could destroy you. Shekol iske olam haza be'itzvon tochalna. Going back to the curse of Adam Rishon, there's always a struggle that's going on. The struggle, the curse of Adam Rishon, is not just that it's going to be hard to make a living. That's part of it. But it's also going to be hard to know what to do with your money in the right way. It's going to be hard to know how to engage reality. Right? You were in Gan Eden, and you couldn't control yourself, and because of that, you're going to have to always struggle with controlling yourself. Masha'enkim olam haba, in the world of olam haba, ki karva lecha dar ma'od v'fichu v'vavcha. It's so much easier to control, right, the lev. It's so much easier to control the peh, the place of achila. It's easier to control the desires. Very deep. Very beautiful. It says the Gra, bottom paragraph on page Samach, bottom right-hand column. Ubali midos shal haruach ro she'en kumam ele she'avrichu me'achilasum v'shtiyasum lemida azos v'ratu livnos bayis la. So let's try to, let's see if the words are a little tricky. Ubali midos shal ruach. So I think he means, again, these in the vision of Zechariah, right, these two women, which represent flattery and gaiva, when they see she'ein kiyumam, when they see that they're she'ein kiyumam ela she'avrichu me'achilasam v'shtiyasam l'midah hazos, ratu livnos bayis la. This is the part I don't understand how to read. Chaver, help me out with this. What's he saying? Ba'li midos shal ruach, Ro she'ein kiyum ela she'avrichu me'achilasam v'shtiyasam l'midah hazos. Is he saying Bali midos sheruach, people who truly have ruach? But then he says ratu livnos bayisla. That's the pasuk in Zechariah, that these women wanted to build the house. Oh, so maybe it's like this, right? Maybe it's like this. Meaning they realized, right, the world of taiva is never, right? At a certain point, you realize taiva is not going to do it. I need something more, right? So you graduate from base desire, from taiva of achila, of shtia, of arayos, you graduate to a more mature taiva, which again has potential. Kina, kavod, right? Again, the realm of ruach, which if it gravitates towards neshama, can be very holy. So that's what's happening here. These two midos, these two winged women, in Zechariah's vision, which represent, again, flattery and gaiva, which have the potential that's rooted in the realm of ruach, Ratu livnos bayisla. They realize the eating and the drinking gets old after a while. Right? The arayos, after a while, the taiva is not even enjoyable anymore. So we need something more. So they want to build a bayis. What's the nature of that bayis? What's the nature of that structure? Vizesha amru, and this is exactly what we find by the Dor HaFlag, at the top of the left column. Nilvana levena v'nisrafa l'sreifa. Come, let's fire up the, what's it called? Fire up the kilns. Right, let's make some bricks. Right, and they decided, let's take the mortar, let's take the bricks, let's try to make something. In other words, let's take our guf and try to build something bigger. Not just to feed the desires of the guf, eating and drinking and sleeping around. That's not it. That's never going to satisfy. So they graduate to a more mature form of taiva, which can, a person can deceive oneself into believing this is actually going to be it. V'amru nisrafa l'sreifa. Nisrafa l'sreifa ki alavena kiyuma b'shtia. We said that the bricks which correspond to the bones. The bones are nourished by drinking. And we said, if you drink in the wrong way, it causes the bones to burn. Whatever that means in the Gemara. And anyone who drinks more than they eat, their bones become burnt. And that's what Chazal say. So again, maybe instead of just, again, right, maybe drinking is a little bit more, I don't know. Right, maybe that's actually the case. Maybe achila is more gashmi. Maybe drinking, even a person who gets drunk, right? So they're trying to experience something a little bit out of body. They're trying to kind of lose control of the body in a certain way. Right? Even though, again, it's a very lowly and perverse way to try to feel something deeper, right? But there's a certain high that a person gets from getting drunk more so than eating geschmack hamburger. Right? So if the drinking is more than the eating, again, they're trying to build something. V'nivna lato ir, right? Shehu olam hazeh, haguf. They're trying to build the city. Right? What do they mean build the city? They're trying to build up their body into something more than just, again, that raw taiva. Kamosha amru, ir katana zeh haguf. As the pasuk says, a small city. Qualis describes trying to conquer the small city, refers to the body. V'rosho b'shamayim. And now they're trying to what? They're trying to extend their head towards the heavens. Kamo shenamar, we had this pasuk once, imyal l'shamayim co, if you lift towards the heavens one's height, kigelo l'netzach yoved. Eventually it'll be destroyed. V'chein b'esav shenamar im tagbia k'neshar, misham orid chanu'um Hashem. Navi Ovadia says about Esav, if you try to rise to the heights, right, from there you'll fall that much more. The Dor HaFlagah, they built this big tower, but it was only for Hashem to knock them down that much harder. Because if you're not reaching towards the heavens, L'shem Shemayim, it's going to crumble. Eventually it'll crumble. And it'll crumble back into lowly, cheap taiva. Lowly olam hazeh dika taiva. Zidon libcha hishiecha merom shifto. Shu agaiva shal Esav ish yodei atzayit. Eventually it'll fall back down. And like we explained previously, right, that when the Dor HaFlagah said, let's make for ourselves a name, it's no different, the Zohar says, v'batei knesios. You could be building a shul. You could be building a beis medrash. Hakol l'shem u'letifaris. Everything for what? For the advancement of your own name. For the advancement of your own glory. As the Zohar warns how careful we have to be. Right? I don't want to be scattered. Let's work together. Let's build a tower. Right? They said, we want to stick together as a way of what? Trying to have some type of kiyum. We don't want to be scattered. Right? And they started to build towards the sky. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed their great disgrace. And Dafka, exactly what they didn't want to happen is what happened. But Yafit Hashem Osam Mishama Pnei Kol Haaretz. Hashem scattered them all over the place. Hashem broke it up to show that these desires were all a perversion of something holy. Okay, go to the last page, Samach Aleph. V'zeu Sha'amro, Deka Nami, that's what the Gemara said, again on this pasuk in Zechariah, Yechsev Livnos La, they wanted these winged women, which represent these negative midos of Ruach, wanted to build something, but they were not zocha to actually build it. Shalonis kayim bin yezeh, shalabayis ba'avir bein shamayim laretz. They tried to build something with wings, something flying towards the sky, but eventually it was exposed to be what? Nothing other than an isha zona, cheap desires. So now, let's put it together. Vizeu shalua, so this is coming full circle back to our Gemara, in Bechoros Davches. This is what the elders of Athens asked Rabbi Yeshua, let's see if we can get the words. Shatem omrim, Sha'amru sheker ein lo raglayim. You say that sheker has no feet. She'ein lo ela regal achas shalaguf. Again, if you don't build on a foundation, right, then the whole thing will crumble. If you get stuck in the realm of guf, if everything is really just feeding the guf, if even the kina and the taiva and the kavod, it's all really in the realm of guf, then it has no raglayim, it has no kiyum, it's bound to crumble. I think we pointed out one of the first shira. Remember writing it on the board. What's the gematria of kina plus taiva plus kavod? You remember? Sheker is much a sheker. Kina is 156, taiva is 412, kavod is 32. is 600. It's Masha Sheker. Right? That's why he says in Pirkei Avos, Akina v'hataiva v'hakavod motzina sa'adam min ha'olam. It takes a person out of ha'olam. Kol Yisrael yishlam chelek la'olam haba. Olam haba is called ha'olam. The world. The real world. Right? The letters, as the Gemara says about the word sheker, right? Shin only rests, it's got 3 points on top, but it all rests on 1 point. So it kind of represents nefesh, ruach, neshama, but it all funnels down to the base desire. So the shin can't stand. The kuf also, it doesn't have a base. It looks like it's going to topple over. The resh is very top heavy. It looks like it's going to fall on its face. As opposed to what? As opposed to the letters MS, right? The aleph. Got two legs. The mem has a nice foundation. Right? The tough has two legs. Emes can stand. Where it says, kushta koi, truth stands. Sheker ein la raglai. So they asked, essentially what the sages of Athens, the elders of Athens, the Sabe Dvei Atuna, the sages of the house of Athens, asked Rabbi Yeshua, right, how could it be that anything is going to last in the sky? Eventually, everything's going to crumble because at the end of the day, you're still a body and your neshama is held captive by the body and it's kind of going to kill Hevel once again. And the Dora Flugga is going to wage war against God. You're never going to be able to build the lasting structure in the sky. There's no foundation. The matters of the guf, right? They remain on the ground. Shua regal hasheni. They don't have that second leg. MS milaben levone, as opposed to MS. MS is like, it's like laying bricks, right? It has a foundation. Sheyesh lakium, kamo halevenim, right? It has levenim. Again, if you're just going to be flesh and you're not going to be bones, you're going to collapse. You won't have a structure. Your body doesn't have a structure. V'lachein va'atzmo secha yachlitz va'yisa kagan rava b'rasha avonosav chakukim lo al atzmosav. A Rasha, the Zohar says, his sins are etched onto his bones. That's why there are certain tzaddikim, if they just look at a person, right, sometimes your averus are etched on your forehead. It says by certain tzaddikim, it's good chasidus and meislach, if people go into the Rebbe, and they pull their hat down over their forehead so the Rebbe couldn't see, right, which was usually a sign that the Rebbe had something to see. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to the taivas. And again, in the Navi of Zechariah, the Yetzahara is compared to these seductive midos of kina, of taiva, of kavod. Right? Coming back to that Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And then he says on Gishmak. You ever hear this medrash? Cain was born with one twin, with a twin sister, and Hevel was born with two. Some say that's what they were fighting about, because they used to marry their sisters back in the day. So Cain was jealous of Hevel, that Hevel had what? That Hevel had two sisters, and Cain only had one. However, what does it mean according to the Gra? Cain is Nefesh. And Nefesh has one negative female seductive desire, and that's Taiva. Right? Hevel, we said, is what? Is Ruach. And Ruach has two seductive desires, right? Namely, Kina and Kavod, right? So therefore, Kina va Kavod heim b'midos haruach, right? Kina and Kavod is the realm of Ruach. V'lachein Kayin ein lo ela to'oma achas hataiva. Kayin's born with one twin sister, and that's taiva. V'ashein kein Hevel, who had a to'oma yisera, he had an extra sister, representing Kina and Kavod. But again, it's all the same, Kina, taiva, Kavod, it's all the same sheker, it's all the same fighting. It's all Cain and Hevel screaming at each other. You get off my land. Oh yeah, well you get off my clothing. Right? And it leads the elders of Athens to look at the Jewish people and say, you crazy Jews, you think you'll ever be able to control your bodies? The type of Olam Hazeh is too great. You're going to have to try to bring Mashiach in a gullus of Edom, in a world of Esav. Ish Sadeh. Cain's going to win. Cain's going to kill Hevel. He'll never make it. That's again what it means. Build us a house. Build me a house. They said, let's see you build a house in the sky. Because again, if you can't do l'shem shamayim, you'll never build something in the sky. All of the actions of the umos ha'olam are done, says the Gra, l'yisyaher. In order to what? For their own gaiva. If you don't understand Pirkei Avos, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, if you can't live that yisod, which by the way is a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Lamed Aleph. If you can't live b'chol derachecha de'eyu, if you can't learn to control your physicality, then you'll never fly in the sky. Kamosha Amar al pasuk tzedaka teroyim goy. The tzedaka, the good, the charitable and righteous actions of the goyim are teroyim. They lift them up, but it's self-serving, which is why their structures crumble. Ayin sham. Amru banu lan beisa. So they said, come on, let's see you build a house in the sky. Vanitzachon shalahem hayushanu omrim. And the way that we win is that we say, no. You're right, in a world of sheker, she'ein lo raglayim, everything is bound to collapse. But in the world of emes, things can last. Sfas emes tikon la'ad, she'esh kiyum la'emes v'shamayim. If you know how to be emestic, right? By the way, what does the Gemara say in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Nun Hey? Right? That the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Right? That the choysim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the stamp, the signet ring, the seal of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Right? Bereishis bara elokim, sofei tevos emes. The same way that a Mechaber writes his name, weaves his name into the title of his book, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the opening words of the Chumash, wrote his name. What's his name? Emes. Bereishis bara elokim, sofei tevos emes. Right? So we say back to them, you don't think we can stay up in the sky? We know how to fly in the sky. We know how to build the structure in the sky. She'esh kiyum la'emes b'shamayim. Emes can stay in the sky. Emes may eret titzmach. Emes sprouts from the ground. But it can stay in the sky. V'lo ba'avir i'efshar livnos. So they say back, but it's not possible to build in the sky. Right? And we prove that it is possible. Amar Shem, so Yeshua uttered the name of Hashem. She'amar l'shem shemayim. He showed that it's possible to be l'shem shemayim. V'yefatu b'fihem. As opposed to you, where the words of your mouth are nothing other than pitoy, other than deception, seduction, right? Perversion. V'tala b'zeb in rekiya la'ara. And if Yeshua says, see, look, it is possible. I just have something nice. What's the gematria of Yeshua? There's a remez about Yeshua. I mean, it's Yeshua, it's Moshe. You have to understand the difference between Moshe and Yeshua. I should talk about this for 2 seconds. What is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua? Why is Moshe go into Eretz Yisrael? Why is Moshe not allowed, to go into Eretz Yisrael? And Yeshua is zoicha to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the realm of neshama. You can't even look at Moshe Rabbeinu's goof. It's like too shiny, you know? He's got to wear a mask. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gets closest to tasting, I'm just hopping this now, tasting the Shar Nun, right? He goes up to Har Nevo, which the Megala Muko says is Nun Bo, the Nun, the highest level of understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu attained and understood with his death. It's interesting. If Moshe Rabbeinu gets to level Nun, I'm just realizing now, Nun plus Moshe, I put it together, is Neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu is the realm of Neshama. To go into Eretz Yisrael is a place of what? Of Guf and Neshama. Right? Think about it even in a very modern sense, you know, in the formation of the modern state of Israel. You have to be prepared to what? To build the land. You have to be prepared to drain malaria-infested swamps. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is a little bit... And it's a milah, it's not a chisar. Moshe Rabbeinu was too lofty in a certain sense to go into, to deal with the artsiest of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Maybe Rabbi Nachman says, you know, what's Eretz Yisrael? It's the houses of Eretz Yisrael mamish, that's the kedush of Eretz Yisrael. It's the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's the gashmius of Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua, right? A lot here, I'm realizing a lot of things now. Yehoshua is the one who's able to make that bridge between Shemayim and Va'aretz. That's why Yeshua was the one who was able to, right? Ko Yoshiacha mi'atzas meraglim. How does the Baal HaTanya explain the Chet HaMeraglim? Why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? You know why? Because where were they living in the Midbar? They were living in the Anani HaKavod. They were living in the clouds. It was all neshama. They were nervous. It was a genuine fear of trying to what? To build the house between Shemayim Varetz. It's scary. Because I could get pulled. The sages of Athens are making a legitimate point. I could end up totally in the dirt. So they wanted the pnimius of Chedim Ragnar, the Baal HaTanya explains, Alter Rebbe explains, is that they wanted to stay in the clouds. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a man of the clouds. Moshe Rabbeinu was lived 40 days, 40 nights, no eating, no sleeping. He was a malach. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really understand the madrega of Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is the one who understands that there's an Indian, of avoda in Gashmias. That's why his name is Yehoshua. Right? His name was Hoshea and it became Yehoshua. Ka Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim. Yudin Hei. What is Yudin Hei? In Hashem's name, there's Yudin Hei and there's Vavin Hei. Tell you from the Rizhner. Rabbi Yisrael Rizhner said, all things of spirituality have to do with the Vav Hei. All things of Gashmias have to do with Yud Hei. Look, your homework assignment. Look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. It's a tiny little chapter. Aruch Hayim, Simon, take a Mishnah Berurah, Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, second Chelek of Mishnah Berurah. And you'll see, what does it say there? It says, Kol Ma'asecha Yud L'Shem Shemayim. You have to try to elevate all of Gashmias. Bechol Derachecha De'ehu. Know Hashem in all of your ways. Try to elevate Gashmias. So the Mishnah says, holy things have Vav and Hei in it. Torah has a Vav and a Hei in it. Mitzvah has a Vav and a Hei in it. Avodah, right? What is Hashem? Has a Vav and a Hei in it. Look over there in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph. In the list of all the Gashmias things that are listed, they all have a Yud and a Hei in it. Achila has a Yud and a Hei. Shti has a Yud and a Hei. Halicha has a Yud and a Hei. Right? It says Tashmish Hamita, but we call it Bia. Bia has a Yud and a Hei. Right? Everything that has to do with Inyani Olam Hazeh, that the Shulchan Aruch says, do it L'Shem Shemayim, they all have a Yud and a Hei. So Yehoshua, right, who becomes Yehoshua, Yud and Hei, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, right, because Baruch Hu saying to Yehoshua, you have to understand the avoda of Yud and Hei. You have to understand the avoda of elevating Gashmias. You have to believe that going to Eretz Yisrael means building what? Means building a bias somewhere between Shemayim and Va'aretz. Okay, so let me just circle back for one more second, we'll read the last paragraph. So what's the gematria of Yehoshua? 391. It's exactly the same gematria as Bechol Derechecha De'eyu. That's what the Sfarim say. Because Yeshua is the one who understands that what? That it's possible to serve Hashem Bechol Derechecha. Right? Your eating can be holy, and your sleeping can be holy, and your walking can be holy. Everything you do in this world, right? Sicha, that says in Shulchan Aruch, Sicha, Yod and Hei. Everything has Yod and Hei. Anything that has to do with engaging the body has Yod and Hei, and it can be used. And that's what I said, the Shem Yichud. I want to try to be Makasher, the Shemayim Va'aretz. So Yehoshua, and that's, so again, the point I'm trying to make is, who are the sages of Athens grappling with? Rabbi Yehoshua. Right? It's Rabbi Yehoshua is the Tana who is always fighting, because he was the one, the sages of Athens thought, these Jews, they're trying to get the best of all the worlds. And the answer is yes, we believe we can get the best of all the worlds. We can build something, we can build a beautiful bias between Shemayim and Aretz. So let's just end with this last two paragraphs. Amar lahem, asiku livni v'tina misham. So he says to them, look, I'm flying in the sky. So can you bring the bricks and the mortar here? In other words, can you bring your flesh and bones here? Do you know how to lift your body off the ground? Shetalu midos hanefesh chomer levenim. Misham min ha'aretz, do you know how to do that? If you do, I'll show you. Oz evna lechem bayisham. I'll show you can build a house here. But because you don't know how to do it, right? Even if it looks like you made it to the sky a little bit, because you built yourself a Migdal Bavel, or because you took a perversion of these, you know, these feminine midos of kina and kavod, right? And people boosted you up by giving you all this kavod and gaiva, eventually it's all going to come crumbling down. He says in the last paragraph, "Vizeo agirsa b'ksas neschaus," and this is the girsa as it appears in some additions. Umi ika damati lasuke hasam. So the sages of Athens said, "Is it possible to bring the bricks and mortar up there?" Amar. So he says back to them, "Umi ika damati lemivne beisav shemayim laaretz." So according to that, you'll never build a house between shemayim and aretz. Masha'ein kein banu, but as opposed to us, emes mi eretz titzmach v'tzedek mi shemayim nishkaf. L'chein tzvas emes tikon laad. Therefore, we're able to build something of kiyum, even between shemayim and aretz. Alright, I think we did okay. Hope it's clear. Mamash big yesodos.